The Truth News Network. Russians, Ukrainians, Germans, Taliban, ISIS. And then there's the Congress. You can't tell your players without a scorecard. Here's the political chalk talk from the coach, Dan Newman.
Well, put me in, coach. I tell you what, football is about the only thing that's going on right now regarding political matters in the world, as Congress, of course, is on vacation. They left some kind of serious unfinished business when they fled Washington, D.C. for the holidays, didn't they? You know, that impeachment thing. We'll get back to that later. We're in the middle of the holidays. And I think what we need to do here is take a step back away from the impeachment stuff, all other things going on in Washington regarding politics, and talk about a thing or two during the week that are as important or maybe even more important, but maybe not political in nature. Like today, is becoming a Christian now a death sentence? Listen to this. When I was really little, about 6 or 7 years old, I remember an evangelist that came to our church. He preached a sermon on Christians being persecuted from around the world. I didn't even understand what the word persecuted meant. He spoke of Christians in Africa that were being persecuted, even some killed, way back then. He spoke of a missionary named J.W. Tucker that was killed by Congolese rebels in the Congo the day before Thanksgiving in 1964, just for being Christians. But it scared me to death when he spoke of Christians in the United States being persecuted and even executed just for being Christians. And he said that some point in the future, he didn't know when, but he pretty much guaranteed that was going to happen. So, you know, I'm a little kid. I'm not even a 10-year-old yet. This can never happen, can it? And so I say to you today, Christians being killed in the United States, it can't happen, right? After all, our forefathers came to the New World in part to guarantee that all who lived here would have total freedom from persecution for religious beliefs, even if they did not have a religion per se. The Constitution guarantees Americans the freedom of speech and the First Amendment. That assures Christians should not have any concerns at all about being attacked for their expressions regarding Christianity, their religion. But apparently, things are changing. The Muslim convert who allegedly beheaded a female co-worker was shouting Islamic phrases as he tore across the store wielding a knife, it has been claimed. This story appeared in the Daily Mail. Alton Alexander Nolan, age 30, was trying to convince workers that Islam teaches that the punishment is acceptable on Thursday. Yeah, for some reason, on Thursday, shortly before he was fired from his job at Vaughn Foods in Moore, Oklahoma. That's according to Oklahoma local media. He returned that same day and lashed out at colleagues Colleen Hufford and Tracy Johnson with a knife, police said. After being shot by Sheriff's Deputy Mark Vaughn, who was also the firm's CEO, in the wake of the horrific attack, he has woken up in a hospital and is being questioned by police. And as the FBI investigates his conversion to Islam in connection with the killing, reports have emerged that Nolan was shouting Islamic phrases during the rampage. He also spoke of the U.S. need to convert to Sharia law. And by the way, one of those young ladies was beheaded by Mr. Nolan, and he attempted to behead the second when he was shot. This occurred in 2014, and it was tied directly to this guy's thoughts of Islamic law. He was since sentenced to death. Yes, such killings, thankfully, are very infrequent in the U.S., but the Muslim population is increasing at dramatic levels in the United States. Now, wait a minute. I'm not Islamophobic. I don't believe all Muslims are evil. I don't believe all Christians are necessarily good either. There are bad people of all kinds. But what I am saying is Sharia law, that we'll mention and get into in just a few moments, is a tenet of Islam. That's factual. Many Muslims do not consider themselves to be activists, especially many of those here in the United States. They're seriously are very large demands for all Muslims in the Quran, their written guide, as is the Holy Bible to Christians. I suggest that every Christian needs to learn about the Muslim faith and the principles spelled out in Sharia law, which is the law implemented in Muslim-majority nations that govern everyday lives for all Muslims. All Muslims, folks, not just ones that choose. As in the United States, a lot of people don't like the Bible, and some don't even really care about it, so they don't have anything to do with it. The Quran is necessary, as is Sharia law, for Muslims. Feel free to download or just read the tenets of Sharia law. I just put a link that says key tenets of Sharia law on this story on our webpage. It's in .pdf format. You can download it or just click on it and read it for yourself. It'll scare you to death. Now, does this mean Christians should fear Muslims? Not at all. But make sure you understand what many who are devout Muslims and believe in life under Sharia law certainly believe. Killing all those who are not Muslims is not only called for, but commanded in Sharia law. This guy in Oklahoma certainly felt that his act was justified. Christians are facing persecution for their beliefs today in the United States. Even if they do not rise to the level of execution, but they do exist in lesser forms, and who knows where they go from there. It's happening in our schools, and that may come as no surprise.
A California charter school reverses its decision after banning an eighth grader from performing a popular Christmas song for a class assignment. One America's Bobby Dupree explains.
An eighth grader is told her rendition of a popular Christmas carol is too religious for school. It was part of a piano assignment for a charter school in Placerville, California.
Explore their abilities and reach their full potential. At South Sutter Charter School, we believe in the power of choice.
13-year-old Brooklyn Benzel chose Joy to the World since it's one of her favorite songs during Christmas time. She later submitted a video sample of her playing the piano. But school officials responded by rejecting her submission. Their reasoning? Her choice of song. It's too religious. The official, citing lyrics like Savior in Heaven, sang the popular Christmas song was unacceptable. This despite the fact the eighth grader would be playing the piano and not singing. They claimed Brooklyn's performance would be flagged by the school auditors and suggested she do another song, like Jingle Bells, calling it a more cultural choice. The school official even researched the song's history, detailing its origins in their letter, which Brooklyn's mother finds, quote, extremely alarming. She posted the letter to social media, outraged by the school's decision, and even threatened to sue with the help from the Pacific Justice Institute.
If people don't have the ability and the freedom to be able to share their faith, then they're really not allowed to live their faith, because part of Christianity is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. So we can't really even say we have religious freedom in our country if people don't have the opportunity to be able to share their faith in public places. Sharing their faith doesn't just mean in a church. It means outside the church. I believe that's what our founding fathers intended as well.
Now, that's not a Muslim thing. That's just an American thing. And America's morals and morality is changing. It's very obvious that it has. And in the context of today's story, Christian persecution, it may not rise to anything like we're fixing to talk about, but is prohibiting a Christian Christmas song to be shared at a school, is it persecution? Well, it doesn't rise to the level of physical attacks and even execution for one's beliefs. But who would have thought a decade ago that any American school would disallow not the singing or not some acting going on in a school play, but just a piano solo version of Joy to the World at a school program? I'm certain there's a really slippery slope here. 20 years ago, I doubt Nigerian Christians were afraid of execution just for being Christians. But folks, it's way different from that today in Nigeria. Details just ahead at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
You love chocolate.
Chocolate.
You love M&Ms.
Oh, yes.
But your tastes have grown up, and you're just not wild about super sweet milk chocolate, so you've been avoiding M&Ms.
Yeah.
Well, fear no more.
Huh?
M&M's Dark Chocolate to the rescue.
My heroes!
M&M's Dark Chocolate Candies. Available wherever fine candies are sold.
Dinner, dinner, dinner. Every day you have to think of what's for dinner. Well, now Subway has a solution that is sure to please every person you have to feed for that last meal of the day. It's called Dinner Tonight. Every day after 4 p.m., Subway is offering a Dinner Tonight special, which includes two regular 6-inch subs, two bags of chips, and two 21-ounce fountain drinks, all for just $11.99. This offer is available all day long on Sundays. Subway of Kodiak. Eat fresh.
Relaxing, unclenching, finding the real truth. TNN. And again, your host, Dan Newman.
Back to it, folks. ISIS-aligned jihadists have released a video claiming to show the execution of 11 blindfolded Christian men in Nigeria in what analysts say was a barbaric act that was clearly timed to coincide with Christmas. That's according to reports. And these executions happened just a few days ago. This is a message to Christians all over the world, a masked man says in the one-minute video posted online by the terror group's Amaq news agency. He claimed the killings at the hands of jihadists from the Islamic State West African province were in retaliation for the death of ISIS chief Baghdadi and his spokesman. Baghdadi committed suicide in October during a U.S. Special Forces operation in Syria. No details were given about the victims, but ISIS said they were captured in the past weeks in Nigeria's northeastern Borno state. The ISIS fighters wore beige uniforms with black masks. They each stood behind one Christian man. The leader shot one, while the others were thrown to the ground and beheaded. The news out of Nigeria is getting progressively worse, as it is being reported that more than 300 people have been killed in at least seven predominantly Christian villages across Nigeria in February and March of 2019 alone, according to multiple sources that monitor persecution of Christians. Since February 10th of this year, there have been at least 270 people killed in Kaduna State alone, International Christian Concern confirms. It has been reported that at least 70 Christians were killed during a 10-week span at the beginning of 2019 across the other Middle Belt states. In one early morning attack on the village of Karama on February 14th, sources said 41 people died after 300 gunmen swarmed the village shouting Allahu Akbar as they fired their weapons and ransacked people's homes. It was reported almost all of those killed were women and children, along with a few senior residents who were unable to run away. And it's not happening in just Africa. During the year 2016, some 90,000 Christians were killed for their faith around the world. That's according to a study from the Turin-based Center for Studies on New Religions that goes by the name CESNR. The director of CESNR and leader of the study, Dr. Massimo Introvigne, told Breitbart News that Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world, and the numbers of those affected are staggering. Christians are targeted primarily for two reasons, he said. First, because their proclamation of peace disturbs more belligerent groups. And second, because their social teachings on life, family, and poverty are opposed by powerful forces. While in the past century, atheistic communist regimes were the greatest persecutors of Christians, Introvigne added, the geopolitical landscape has changed considerably since then, and the actors have changed as well. He continued, while communism's last attacks are still responsible for some ill treatment of Christians, Introvigne told Breitbart, Islamic ultra-fundamentalism has taken its place as the number one agent of persecution. Intervene's findings mirror those of other scholars and human rights groups. According to the World Watch List, for example, published by the Open Doors Organization, 9 of the top 10 countries where Christians suffer extreme persecution had populations that are at least 50% Muslim. The 2016 report found that Islamic extremism is by far the most significant persecution engine of Christians in the world today, and that 40 of the 50 countries on the World Watch List are affected by this kind of persecution. Introvigne said that in Nigeria, over the past 12 years, the most reliable estimates assess it more than 10,000, the Christians killed by the Islamic ultra-fundamentalist organizations Nigeria's Boko Haram. While some groups like Boko Haram are private, in a number of countries, persecution of Christians is actually promoted by the governments. Several Muslim countries still have laws punishing apostasy, that's converting from Islam to another religion. Others have laws against blasphemy, and some tend to consider any criticism of Islam as blasphemy. While tens of thousands of Christians are killed for their faith, that's just the tip of the iceberg, folks, and much persecution takes place on a daily basis that never makes the news. North Korea again tops the list of the 50 most dangerous countries to follow Jesus Christ. The 2019 World Watch list, released on Wednesday of last week by Open Doors USA, highlights where action is desperately needed to protect Christians. President Trump has met with many of the leaders whose countries make the list, like China, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and North Korea. The Trump administration has made religious freedom a priority. Case in point, fighting for the release of Pastor Andrew Brunson from Turkey. You remember that? Pastor Brunson was released not long ago after being in prison and treated horribly for no real legitimate reason at all. But there's more the U.S. government can do, and that's the backbone behind this list that's been put out. The spread of radical Islam increases the danger of Christians worldwide. Many Christians are being killed because of their faith, said Father Daniel Akhori, an Iraqi native. CBS News asked Akhori why he stays while other priests have left due to safety concerns. I'm staying to stay with my people, he said. So this is the only thing that is keeping me, staying there and helping them because they need help now urgently. So if I'm not going to be there, who is going to help them? Iraq is number 13 on the watch list of countries where Christians face the most persecution. For the last 27 years, Open Doors USA has documented the most oppressive and restrictive countries for Christians. Topping this year's list is North Korea, as we said, followed by Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, and Pakistan. We believe now, based on our research, that there are over 245 million Christians who live in areas of extreme or high persecution. That's a lot. That's David Curry, president and CEO of Open Doors USA. Curry adds that violence against Christians increased dramatically this past year, especially in China. They moved up from number 41 to number 27 on the list. That's a really big jump, he said. It's a huge jump, and it shows things are getting more difficult for China, and it's a big church, so a lot of people are affected. North Korea remains number one for the 18th year in a row, despite these talks between President Trump and dictator Kim Jong-un. I would love to see human rights be a part of the discussion when you're talking about nuclear arms, because you can tell within 30, 60, 90 days if conditions have improved for Christians in the labor camps, Curry explained. Right now, there are over 60,000 Christians in labor camps in North Korea. A lot of people don't even know that. Vice President Pence reaffirmed that the White House will always be a champion for people of faith all around the world. Protecting and promoting religious freedoms is a foreign policy priority of this administration, he said. Open Doors continues its efforts, hoping governments, human rights groups, and other organizations will take notice, get involved, and help believers. And in summary today, folks, being a Christian is dangerous in much of the world today. How long do Christians in the U.S. have before similar persecution seen overseas makes its way in violent form to our country? Certainly that incident in 2014 in Oklahoma, where that lady was beheaded and another stabbed, is not what we're seeing here in the United States every day. Thank God. Of course, we all want to think and say nothing like that can happen here. Our Constitution protects us. Our government will protect us from any violence from those who hate Christians. You know, I felt that growing up, especially when as a little boy, that evangelist told the story of missionary slaughters in the Congo. And I said this to myself, that only happens in Africa, not here. Of course, that lady in Oklahoma went to work for another day of doing her deal, minding her own business, putting bread on the table for her kids, or buying a school outfit or two. She never thought that a zealot, a religious zealot, who had talked to her about converting to Islam would go nuts and kill her. She just innocently let him know she's a Christian. Now, I'm certainly not trying to scare anybody, but we've seen drastic social changes in the U.S., some of in the past 4 or 5 years that were never thought possible just 10 or 20 years ago. The purpose today of us having this conversation is to make sure you have facts to consider to arm with facts to use to make decisions. I, like you, can't predict the future. We can't prepare our families or ourselves for every possibility that we might face, but what we can do is put the consideration of the major possibilities in the conversation to think about, pray about, and prepare a few what-ifs just in case we face one or more of those. Christian persecution is probably one of the things for which we need to prepare a what-if or two or three, don't you think? Hey, let me hear from you. Dan@truthnewsnet.org. Dan@truthnewsnet.org. Like your thoughts on the subject. And you stay close all week long. We've got that big event coming up the first week of January. We'll talk a bit more about that tomorrow. But get all the facts and learn for yourself from researching the facts that you get right here at Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
How do you deal with the left when they're in your face with facts? TNN. The Truth News Network.